What's up, everyone? I'm Ruthina Porterfield, God's favorite, but I do want you to challenge me on that, which is why you're going to get to know him right here. I want you to meet my God. This podcaster's tea conversation is with the ladies of the Christian Black Female Podcast. Now, I'm single with no kids, so these two wives and mothers are schooling me on love, marriage, and family, and how God helps them through it all. Take a listen. Hello, Nicole and Asia.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for agreeing to have the conversation with me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you guys.
Yes, we're excited too. So excited.
So cool. Okay, so you guys started the Christian Black Female Podcast. It started in April. Tell us about the podcast. First of all, what made you start the podcast together? Because a lot of people, I see you guys pointing. A lot of people started by themselves, but you were like, you know what? Yeah, we might be able to do this together. How'd y'all do that?
Well, we've been best friends for 17 years.
What? Longer than that? How old are we?
It's been longer than that. Okay, so we've been best friends since we were 10.
Okay.
Oh, 28 years.
Yes.
Oh,
that's why I'm looking at her like that. Like, what is wrong with you?
So we've been best friends for 28 years. And okay. So what happened was, it was in the midst of quarantine, COVID, and I was listening to Truth's Table, another great podcast, Black women. And I was like, they're good. Me and Asia could do this. So I called her and I said, we should do it. And then she decided to announce to the world one time, we were on a live, that we were starting the podcast. And that's how we ended up doing it together.
Really, yeah. And I was actually really hesitant.
She was.
But we went live because we were, yeah, I was really hesitant. And we went live one day after we had went to dinner on a Friday night. And then that Saturday, we had like a whole experience. Yeah. And that Saturday, we went live to like talk about our experience. And I was like, you know what? Let's just drop.
We got a lot of feedback. So I think it was just like, you know, go ahead and do it.
Yeah. But I was the hesitant one. So for me to drop it and be like, yeah, guys, we're going to start a podcast. Just be ready. Blah, 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 blah. Run in my mouth. It was just like, man, what did I get myself into? Just a little bit.
But we love it. Yeah, we love it.
It sounds so funny because it sounds like y'all started by default or something. Like,
kinda. Yeah. Just a little bit.
So, okay, so what was the point? What did y'all decide the goal? What, now that y'all have done it, y'all's first season is done.
Yeah.
What was kind of the goal? Do you feel like you accomplished your goal? What was the purpose?
I think podcasting, when you first start out, you don't know what the goal is. When
I know that.
You think you do, and then it kind of evolves into something else altogether. So, Christian Black Female Podcast, that's our podcast, and we love it. I think I love it more than her, but I love it. I love it.
If you go back and listen to our podcast, you know why she loves it more than I do.
She does a lot of the editing.
So that's why.
The easiest thing, and I'm that's not why. Techie. So that part, whenever she's like, you know, this, this, that, and the other, I'm like,
right. Oh, I feel it. But we do enjoy it. We love spending time with each other. Yes. We have busy lives, so just talking, and it's amazing, but the heart behind Christian Black Female Podcast is that we, you know, we're 80s babies. So we were raised in the church, in the Black church in the 90s and in the early 2000s. And there's a cry right now, if you're paying attention, from millennials and Gen Zs for truth. And if you were raised in that era of church, you're now realizing that a lot of the stuff that we were taught was scripture and was God. It was not. It was tradition. And so there is this whole deconstruction of faith that's happening right now. And so when you listen to our podcast, you hear two Black females who talk about relative events that are happening through deconstructed faith, not churchy, not trying to sound like we know a bunch of stuff. And I think that communicates to people that God is relatable because we look like people that you know and that you hang with and that you're related to. And it's just to kind of give people God on a level that is very chill.
Right.
Very chill. No, I love it. And that's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to talk with you guys, because I am a 70s baby. I'm a late 70s baby. So I'm Gen X. What? And so I was raised in the 80s, and like I turned 13 in 1990. Okay. So my teen years were the 90s. Shout out to 90s R&B. What's up?
It was.
The best. But I was born and raised in the right immediately following kind of that whole Pentecostal movement. Mm-hmm. So church had blown up. So what you guys were raised really under, I was a child as they were really in really pushing that tradition and pushing it and kind of building it. Yeah. And yeah, there is a difference between what like my generation was doing and how we approached church versus the way Gen Z and millennials are approaching church now, which I freaking love. I freaking love. So like I said earlier, we're in this whole relationship season for my podcast.
I love
it. And I know I am. When God gave me that theme for the season, I was like, wait, what? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about it, but I'm going to roll with you. Right. So what I wanted to talk with you guys about, because of the difference in generations, which technically is not that big of a
difference. She just said this morning she wanted to be Gen X. She just said it this morning.
I said, it doesn't make sense. Wait, is it Gen X? We did this whole thing.
It's Gen X.
What are you?
It's late 70s, right?
Yeah, I was born 77. Yes,
okay. I had to look it up because I always get confused. And I said to her, I said, you know, we are technically, I said, we're not really millennials. They don't really even like
us. We just made the cut.
Like, we just made it.
Okay.
Right. All right. So it's like, I said, millennials don't want us.
That's
and
true.
I said, and Gen Xers, they don't want us.
That's
either.
True, too.
It's kind of like we're in our own little box.
We're a lone generation.
Right, we're a lone generation.
You know what? Call it the transition generation.
Right, we are.
The transition generation. Yeah.
Sad and true, though.
It does sound very sad.
That's what it is.
You're going through a transition in your life. Yeah, right. That's us.
It is kind of funny because you talk to people baby early, especially when you talk early millennial generation. So you're talking like because Gen X, they say ends around 82, like 81, 82, something like that. And
right.
Then once you get past 80, like 83 and on, you're talking millennials. Yeah. But
and that's us. We're 83. And it's like, really, though, like we know we with y'all.
Because I mean, I think about people that I know that were born in 93 that are the I guess I hate to say the real millennials, but they
but you're
are
right.
Those are the real millennials.
Yeah. And their perception about life is a little different from when it I is. Talk to someone who was born in like 83, 85.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a little different.
Absolutely.
It's kind of strange, but
we really are in a little time zone. Time warp, whatever generation we get, whatever.
But I think all the generations are like that because my brother is almost 10 years older than me, but he's still Gen X, but he's in his 50s. But it's weird. I don't know, girl. That's when you know what? You have to remind yourself that these generation names and times were developed by marketing execs.
Right.
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 So when you look at it that way, it kind of brings
I'm wherever I'm at.
Right. Right.
Listen.
Right. I'm a Gen X.
She's all of them. Oh my gosh.
I'm a Gen X.
I love you guys. Okay. All right. I'm going to be editing like a mug.
We got to behave.
All right.
Okay. So I am in the midst of my relationship season for the podcast. And I wanted specifically to talk to you guys because not only are we different in age groups, but we're also different in kind of our stages in life, which is so strange because I am a little older than you guys. However, you guys have already reached the whole family marriage thing, right? And so I wanted to get you guys' perspective on the idea of what, number one, what you thought based on your church upbringing, what you thought kind of the single life into marriage life was supposed to be based on your church upbringing.
You sure?
I want the real, for real. Yeah. Versus what you actually discovered was the truth. Not only the truth by experience, but the truth by God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Relationship with him. So kind of talk about what that was.
So that's kind of, it's told, I feel like what we were taught was, this is your role. You stay at home, you cook, you clean. This is you. This is what you embody. You take care of the kids, you take care of your husband.
Yeah,
that's it.
Your identity.
But yeah, that is your identity. But there's so many other parts of you. Those are definitely parts of you and very good parts of you. But there's so many other parts of you that, because God created us to be like just creatures who can do so many different things.
Multifaceted.
Yes, multifaceted. Thank you. Multifaceted people. And we're able to do so many different things. There's so many different parts of us.
Yeah.
And we're not taught that.
Right.
We're not taught to also embrace those things too. And not to say that you are taught to be ashamed, but you're not taught to say it's okay to want those things. It's okay to want to work and want to be, you know, want to take care of your kids. It's okay to, you know, want to hang out and, you know, go on girls' dates and things like that. It's not just solely dedication to your husband and your children.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what we were taught, that you need to be dedicated to these people in your home.
Yeah.
And that is it. You serve them and them only, and you serve God. That is it. You know, that's it. You don't do nothing else. You
not know? That harsh, but
not that harsh, but that's kind of just like, that is what your life is. Yeah. Oh, I'm taking the kids here. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. And you are, it's okay to be, you know, be those things and also be the part of you that was not a mom, be a part of you that was not the wife. It's okay to be that part.
Yeah.
You know, and don't feel like, because you don't want to lose yourself also in the process of just having the identity of a mom and a wife, because when the kids leave,
who are you
going to be?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same thing. You know how I've heard it like on TV, like a lot of spouses on TV, they'll go, you know, I don't even know who we are without the kids.
Yeah.
And it's kind of as a wife, you know, as a mom and a wife, you don't know who you are
outside of those roles.
These two roles.
Yeah.
You know, so I just feel like, and I'm sorry I took up so much time, but I just feel like, you know, what we're taught is these are your two roles.
Yeah.
Wife, mom, and child of God. Three. You got three roles.
Yeah.
Play those three roles.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's it.
And God will, you know, God will honor you and all this other good death. And you strive to be that Proverbs 31 woman and all this other things. And it's just like, even if you look at that scripture, she was a boss in her own right.
Hello.
She
was in business.
Right.
She was going to just neglect the fact that she was out here doing purple, making purple and all that.
Right. But she was a boss in her own right.
Yes, she was.
You know what I mean? So she took care of the house and she still did all of these things.
Right.
And it's like, but a lot of times people just mention that, you know, the portion of, you know, the fact that she was a wonderful wife, a wonderful mother, and, you know,
she had a business.
Right. And she took care of the home. But if you look deeper, she was so much more
than that. Absolutely.
Know? Well, my thing is, Proverbs 31 woman is awesome. She's great. That's nice. Love her. No, for real.
I feel you on that one. I know where you're about to go.
But there's a lot of other women that were in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That we just be neglecting. And I'm like, there were some warriors, like mug. Like one of my things, part of like my relationship with God is, you know, when I approach the Bible, because I'm an actress. And so I love stories. I love storytelling. I love characters, plots, and all of that stuff. So I get into that. And so when I read the Bible, I approach it that way because it helps me to read it in a different way, right? And so there are women that we didn't learn about in Sunday school. We heard about Deborah, but we didn't hear about the chick who chopped the man's head off in the story. Like that, like
what's her name? It starts with a J, right?
Yeah, it was one of them Arabic names that
just, you better, sound it out. Yep, I can't do it.
We don't learn, like, they neglect the whole statement where Deborah told Barak, when Barak came to her and was like, I don't know what to do. Like, can we talk about the fact that he wasn't all that strong?
Why do you think that? Why do you think that they didn't do that?
Oh, because it goes against their traditional mindset. Well, number one, they probably ain't studied it right themselves. Can we start there? Right. But it goes against their traditional mindset of what it should be. It's like women get a bad rap because of Eve. Let me tell you, I'm about to be in the heavenly line.
Because you know it's going to be a line. It's going to be a line.
But if we're honest, we're all Eve.
Yeah.
We're all Eve. We really are.
But we got it from her, though.
Yeah. That ain't right.
Right. Every month I got questions for her. If you understand what I'm saying,
I do. Right.
When I burst out these five people,
I'm sure y'all got questions.
But I think it really has to do with the idolatry of marriage. It's very real in the church.
Yes, it is.
Marriage is an idol. So why would they teach us about women that were strong and independent when it goes against the submission, which they realize that even in submission, you can be strong.
Right.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad you used that word idolatry of marriage because I just did record an episode. It's coming out on in a couple days, in Sunday. And the person I was talking to, it was my devotion partner. She specifically said, we were talking about being single, and she was talking about how she was realizing that she had made marriage and her pursuit of marriage an idol. And she had made pursuit of just the experience of marriage itself an idol.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it happens a lot with single women. And it's because of the fact that marriage was made an idol in the church.
Oh, yes.
And so what else do you expect from single women? Exactly. If this is what you're presenting to them, what else are they supposed to?
And the language that's used around it, like, for example, when I was engaged to be married, it was like, I said this in the podcast, it was like I reached the highest level of Christianity and here's my reward. It's this man. Mm-hmm. I did it. You know, and it's you. And as soon as you're engaged, people don't talk to you. Well, a lot of people, when I was engaged, they don't talk to you about yourself. Oh, you and your husband, you and your husband, the Lord's going to use you guys. You're going to. And so you are getting already erased.
Yeah.
You're already getting erased. You know what I mean? And yes, people need to speak life into you as a couple and as a soon to be married couple. But as soon as you are attached to a man, you easily disappear. And then if these are people that you respect and look up to when they are your leaders, of course, you're going to take all in that language in your mind and in your thoughts. And the next thing you know, everything is about this man who's not God. And it's not meant to be God. And I think that in the language that's used, you really think that marriage is going to fulfill you. Mm-hmm. And it was never, ever made. It was to fulfill you. Only God can.
Right.
You cannot be fulfilled by a created thing. And your man might be the bomb, but he's a created thing. He cannot fulfill you.
Right.
And I just think that I don't know a lot of single people my age now, but from what I've read and heard, there is a different language that's happening and it's really helping women to be strong. But I know that that's not what my experience was. And it took some hard moments to realize, like, listen, I really made this thing.
Yeah.
I put it in a place it shouldn't be in my life. And I think that we've got to go to the word, deconstruct the scriptures, and really see what God says that we're supposed to be as women.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so huge. That's so good. Oh my gosh. That was so freaking good, because it's funny because now it almost feels like even when you talk singles ministry, the way that it's set up as a dating site.
Is it? I didn't know that.
That's what is. I mean, singles ministries is set up more so like, especially
for mingling.
Okay. And they're presenting an opportunity for you to meet your spouse is basically what singles ministries have become.
It's not helping you to be strong as a single.
I didn't know that.
I got you.
I wanted to, because I feel like your spouse, when you get with your spouse, you have a whole new family when you become a mom, you know, some people are blessed to become moms. I'll probably be a stepmom, which I'm looking forward to. I'm excited about being a stepmom because I had great stepdad and a great example. Aww. So, but that is kind of the family that you chose. I want to talk about the family that you're born into.
Okay.
And it's about to get real complicated because this is how I want to jump into this part of the conversation. When I was in college, there was a young girl, a friend who made a statement to me that made me think, because I love my family, but my family, like any family, has issues.
Yeah.
And I've always had, particularly with my mother, there were some issues there, major issues there, that I talk about in my book. But I always struggled with the whole family thing. And a girl said to me one time, and it changed the way I looked at it. She said, you know what? The family that you're born into, that is something that God chose. You didn't choose that. Yeah. So if God chose that for you, then there must be a reason.
Yeah.
Right. There is a reason that you were born into that family, mm-hmm. that you were born from a family and then made perhaps adopted, because you don't control if you're adopted as a child. You don't control that. And so whoever that is, that was assigned to you. Mm-hmm. Now, that's great. And I accepted that. I thought it was great. And I mean, I took it in, and it's something that I still carry to this day. But it's also something I use to comfort me when they tick me off. So I wanted to know from you guys how you deal with those conflicting times with those families that you're born into, where you have to say, okay, God, listen, like the blood of Jesus.
Ah.
But this is the blood you got running through my veins.
Yeah.
Like, how do you guys deal with that?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first and then, yeah.
It's tricky for me to answer that only because I have, I've always had a good relationship with my mom. So I'll just talk about family in general.
Yes.
Because my mother is the complete opposite of me.
Wow.
She is quiet. She is meek. She is giving to the point where she's taking away from her own needs. Like, that's my mother. And I'm very much like, wait a minute. So I don't, but I do get what you're saying. And I think, cause there's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but there's a good amount of people in my family who have struggled with addiction.
Okay.
And so my mom, she raised one of my cousins. She's basically raised like as a sister. And so I think when God puts you in to a family and you have a parent that's, you know, struggling with addiction or any kind of addiction, you know, not just drug, it feels very unfair. Mm-hmm. And I know this because I'm very close to the cousin slash sister that, you know, that I'm talking about. And I think in those situations, and even in the less extreme situations of that, if you know the Lord, like you said, what can comfort you in those moments is God's sovereignty, that mm-hmm. there is something that you are to be to that person, or that person gives to you that you might not even know.
Right.
And it's one of those things that all things work together, mm-hmm. because like you said, you have no say who you're related to. And so I was listening to a podcast. I don't know if you listen to it. It's really good. It's called The Naked Podcast. It sounds inappropriate. It is not. It's about marriage. It's just being vulnerable with your spouse. But it was talking about sandpaper spouses and family members.
Okay.
And they work out the kinks and the rough edges in you to make you refine and to mold you into what God wants you to be. So if you're in that situation and you are a believer, then you can look at it as this being worked out for you. I have family members. Hold my hand.
Okay.
They work. They work my nerve. You don't even understand it.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
You don't even know. But I know that I'm short-tempered. I have no patience. I speak before I think, and those give me opportunities to exercise patience and love.
Yes.
And so all things work together. We can trust his placement and where he places us in our families and in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to piggyback off of that part, because sure. I know for sure, like, you know, when my children, you know, when they're bouncing off the walls and girl. I have teenagers, mm-hmm. like full grown teenagers.
They're not baby teenagers.
You know, I have a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, 14, 17, and 18.
Oh, yeah. So you got real. Yeah.
I got real, like, teenagers. Right. And so when they are being teenagers, right, and being their own humans and, you know, doing those things, and not just my children, when I ask God for patience when it comes to people.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like Nicole was saying, you know, you got those sand, they'll help work those edges in you.
Yeah.
Because I have patience. I have patience, right? I'm not as, like, fly off as Nicole is, but I got some sort of patience. But there are times when that patience needs to be worked a little bit more,
yeah.
because I can give a little bit more grace. I can give a little bit more mercy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And instead of, you know, being so quick, and God always reminds me, you know, he goes, what about when you're disobedient to me?
Hello?
You know what I mean? So I'd be like, oh my God, all right, like, what? All right, you know, I get it. Yeah. You know, you be wanting to talk back to God, like, well, you ain't have to bring that up, though.
Right?
Like,
I know, right?
Like, I'm talking about these kids right now. Right. I thought you was on my side. Right.
Why you bringing up old stuff?
Right. He'd be like, well, what about that time you didn't listen?
Right.
I'd be like, oh, all right, well, I mean, but that was then. This now. Right. You know, I'm trying to help them, you know.
I thought you were supposed to throw stuff in the sea of forgetfulness.
Right. But it brings back, like, I am gracious to you. You can be gracious to them, you know. And you know, God definitely makes no mistakes whatsoever. So he puts you in these families for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it can be something just like the path that you're supposed to be on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I put you in this family because, like, my mom's name is Dawn. I put you in this family and I gave you to Dawn and Brian because I knew that Dawn needed to be here in life. And I also knew that you needed to be here in life.
Yeah.
And in order for you to get here, you got to be born to her. You know, I wouldn't have met Nicole if Dawn wasn't my mother.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have met my husband if Dawn wasn't my mother. So, and then same thing with my children. I wouldn't have my children. So, not to say it in, you know, just like that to give you some sort of comfort, but I also think that it is the path that we're supposed to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why we're born into the families that we're born into, why we go through the experiences that we go through, because we don't go through these just for ourselves.
Yeah.
We go through them for somebody else to be able to, you know, let me give you my testimony. Let me share of the goodness of God. Yeah. And also for us to have, like, if we don't have these coming to Jesus moments on the path that we're on, you know, like, I don't know who God is, or I don't get to know who God is at the age of 9 if I'm not born to Dawn.
Yeah.
Because Dawn wouldn't have sent me to Virginia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't have been going to Tower of Deliverance. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, even though you have those arguments and those, you know, those crazy moments in your family, it still works something out in you because you can see how you may play a role in a certain thing. And it showed me in, you know, in certain cases on how I deal things, how I handle certain escalations. And it's allowing me to work on Asia, you know? So, you know, we may be born into these families that, you know, have some sort of dysfunction. Right. But if you look internally, how can you be better from it? You know, how can you change? And, you know, how can you give those certain things? What roles did you play? And how can you give that over to God, you know, so that you can be, you know, a better person, so that you're able to minister to somebody else, because somebody else is going to have an experience, you know, similar to yours, that you can say, this is how I overcame it, you know?
Yeah.
I struggled with, you know?
Yeah, I think that that particularly comes into play, not just with arguments and things of that nature, but there are also the extremes, you know, the abusive situations.
Oh, yes.
Extremes. I mean, because that was my experience. So those types of things, when those questions arise and you're like, God, who? Like, what God, where? Like, and I think with me, I look at my past and my situation and all of the things that I've been through when it comes to family and just what I was born into, I understand more so about God's timing than anything else. I think Nicole brought up the word sovereignty. Mm-hmm. I have issues with God's sovereignty. Honestly, me and him go at it quite often about his sovereignty, because I recognize it and I honor it as a part of who he is.
Right.
But I do question not his sovereignty, but I question, well, if you're going to do what you're going to want to do anyway, then what?
Right. Yeah.
Then what, you know? And so for me, what has, I don't know if comforted me is the word, more so, explain. One of my favorite sayings is, it doesn't excuse behavior, but it does explain behavior. Mm-hmm. What helps me is understanding God's timing and understanding that his timing is perfect. It is very perfect. It is very, it's so specific, because we serve a God that is in and out of time, right?
Yeah.
And so he sees before, now, and after. And so that has really comforted me, and helped me to deal. And also understanding, and this was a big one, understanding that when you deal with family, you deal with people, human beings, specifics. Yeah. I lost my mother in 2010. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned after she died was that my mother was a woman before she was a mother.
Yeah.
So she was Sandra before she was Mama.
Yeah. Right?
And so when you understand that that brother that you want to kill, you know, is a person, is dealing with being a man. If you're hey, you guys are Christian Black females. So if you have a Black brother, you know, he's dealing with being a Black man along with being your brother. And along, when you have that uncle that is a drunk or something, or like, what went into why he drinks so much? Do you know what I mean? And what is it that you need to pray for? Right. Not just his drinking, but what is it that you need to pray for so that that isn't an issue? So understanding that this family that you're placed into is made up of people, and it's also made up of spirits, because we were not against flesh and blood, but we against flesh and blood, which is family, right? You know, we wrestle against principalities and powers, you know? And so when you approach it in that respect, all of a sudden family and also friends and spouses and significant others, all of that takes on a whole new meaning when it comes to relationships in general. Does that make sense? So how did you guys gel your spouse family, the look on the faces that I'm
getting. I don't understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to follow you. I was like, where's she going with this?
Like, how did it mesh? How did you guys, how did you blend the idea of, how did you, let's break it down. Did you have, does your married family and your blood family get along well?
Okay, I'll go first. So my mother-in-law is a woman. Okay. And she is, when I say it like that, I mean, she is about business. You know, she is very, she does not really express, you know, the way she feels. She's just very like, let's do what we need to do. And so that was my experience of her for the first 5 years of my marriage. Right. Okay. Always nice, supportive. If there's something that needs to, you know, happen, help we need, she's there. But then I had her first grandchild. And my daughter is named after my mother-in-law's mother.
Okay.
Right.
So she's named after her grandmother, too. Okay.
Well, no, her great-grandmother.
Her great-grandmother.
Yeah, she's named her great-grandmother. So I had my daughter. And because of my, you know, my mother-in-law's upbringing and just like a lot of hard times, she's kind of like a hard woman. And then she became a grandmother. And I believe that my daughter was her, my mother-in-law's gift from God. And it was just like a melting away of like hardness and, you know, all types of stuff. And so I think we were always close, but once we had kids, my mother-in-law was like there Like, not just if my husband is there. She's calling me like, hey, I'm going to come up. She lives an hour and 20 minutes from my house. And wow. She's there. And my sister-in-law, we've always been close. We're always good. And my family is very opposite from my husband's family. We're loud. We are all over the place. And we're open to everybody. So it wasn't difficult for us to all kind of just mesh together. And I love hosting. So it was always like, everybody come over. Everybody chill out. Right. No arguments, no beef between families. Right. That's been my experience. Now, I've only been married for
15 years.
So, I mean, it could happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
Do you find that you keep, well, you said that you were open and you love to have everyone together. I know families, married friends that find it healthier for them to keep up a certain boundaries between, if I was married, so a certain boundary between my marriage versus my family, not versus, but a boundary between my marriage and my family, that to understand that we're all family, but my marriage is first, kind of, sort of. Would you approach that? Are there is just open? Like, how do you do?
Well,
that?
My family don't know nothing about my marriage.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought that she was getting with her marriage circle. But it's a smart thing. Because this is the thing. And I think me and Nicole, we probably learned this very early on. There are certain things you don't want to tell your family about your spouse.
Right.
Because that is one, your spouse. And if you decide, I'm going to stick it out with this man, no matter what has ever happened.
Right.
You don't ever want your husband to look bad in their eyes. Yeah. As far as them having a negative view of your husband. You know what I mean?
They're not going to be quick to forgive your husband the way you are, because they don't love your husband the way you love him.
And that's your family. So their loyalty is to you.
Exactly.
So I know from my sister, my husband had one time to mess up. Okay. One time. And to me, like, she won't let him ever live it down to me. You know what I mean? And I got to say, I'm over it. You know, and it wasn't even that big of a deal.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm better, you know. But, you know, for her, it's like, no, you're my little sister.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
No, you know, and, you know, my sister, you know, she's kind of, we crazy. So we be ready to pop off sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you don't ever want to have, you know, your husband in a negative light for your family.
Yeah.
Because they're very loyal to you. So it's not going to be like, it's hard for them to be unbiased.
Yeah.
They're going to take your side no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, you hurt her?
Yeah, basically.
You did not do the Lord for you? What is wrong? You know what I'm saying? She's doing all of this and you are doing what?
I wouldn't put up with that girl.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But it is safe to have people that you can talk to about your marriage, because the extreme other version is that is a lot of women suffering in silence because they don't want to make their spouse look bad, and you know they're going through, you know, not even necessarily extreme things,
right,
but hard things, and they don't feel like they have someone. So I think that you need to have people that you can trust, that you can talk to, but it should not be your family members.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
That's a whole. Yeah. That's different.
Mm-mm. Got it.
I learned early.
Yeah. I learned early. No, one of the things I want to make clear about this, because it's like I feel it in my spirit. I want to make it clear that we are talking about marriage. And I think a lot of times people tend to apply marriage stuff to boyfriend, girlfriend stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about this in the last podcast, how back in college when I was wanted to date someone and he wasn't saved, and I tried to use that verse, well, the wife sanctifies the husband.
Girl.
And I had somebody
sanctify him. Let it your man.
Like, that's not your husband.
That is not your husband.
Yes. I think it's important to be very clear that as you guys are talking about your experiences and your journeys, you are talking about married life.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend. When you have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, if you're going through issues, you need some folk. And if it's your whoever, you need some folk before you go into life with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, girl. It's totally different. If it's your boyfriend, you can talk to your family, girl, because they eventually they're gonna tell you, like, listen, girl, you don't need to be with that one. Or listen, dude, she ain't good for you.
You need that.
But as far as marriage is concerned, yeah, because that's different. You know, right, it's totally different because you take that commitment and you're willing to do the for better, for worse. You're willing to put it
and
in
you
work.
Vow to, right. And now and God is in the middle, right, of it.
And you, yeah, and you're like, I'm dedicated to this. So even when we have those hard times, I am dedicated to this. I'm not leaving because, yeah, it gets a little harder. I'm not leaving because you make me upset. I'm not, you know, you're dedicated. Now, I'm not saying and talking about, you know, abusive relationships. That's totally, yeah, no, that's totally different. But I'm talking about just the, you know, those times when, you know, he's not doing right, or, you know, even she not doing right. You know, I don't know if men listen to this podcast, you know, but whomever, you know, those moments when your spouse isn't listening, you know, doing right as, yeah, far as in your eyes, or not meeting certain needs that you feel they need to meet. You know, when you speak to your family about that, then they'll have something, I don't want to say like ammo that they'll use against your husband, but, oh, yeah, you don't want to give anything. Right.
Because
the enemy is smart. So the enemy, yeah, will use your family and be like,
to bring division.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And will just use those moments, and it'll always be the wrong time for your family to say something about your husband. Of and course. It's, you know, it's more
it's
chaotic.
A whole thing.
Right.
So
waiting. Listen, they be waiting. It's right. Like an arsenal, okay?
Right.
They have an arsenal. They exactly. are waiting for that Thanksgiving dinner so right. everybody, so they can It'll go in the like, arsenal and pull Johnny. Out that turkey and then pull out that thing they did 2 years
yes.
ago.
Right. Johnny, to bring to the table. You said that she was fat.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. You know, so they are waiting. So, you guys, we could probably talk all day.
We could.
Which I love. I hope to have you guys back. This is an official invitation to have another tea conversation with me, because I freaking love it.
Thank you.
Because there's so much more we could talk about.
Yes.
But I want to close. One of the things that I'm doing this season is, as I am talking about relationships, I really want to allow my guests to say a short prayer for my listeners. They have been valuing this. I've been getting wonderful, wonderful comments, to say a very short prayer specifically about what we talked about. Let me let you know that most of my listeners are single.
Okay.
And, just to pray about choosing. That's what I hear that in my spirit. Pray about choosing wisely whoever this significant other is, and to also pray for those that may be in relationships right now with a potential significant other. Pray for wisdom and spirit-led decisions. Yeah. In the midst of those relationships. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You guys have the prayer floor. Go.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be on this podcast, to be on this platform, Lord God, Lord, to share the little bit of wisdom that we may have, Lord, in the area of marriage, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for first, Ruthina, Lord God,
yes,
we thank
God.
You for her willingness to be open and to share her space with us, Lord God. We thank you for using her, Lord God. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that you would continue to use her and that she allows herself to be a vessel, Lord God,
yes, Lord.
For you to speak through her, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, Lord, that you would open the door, Lord, and open the floodgates, Lord, for more people to hear her podcast,
yes,
Lord. Lord, to hear your word and to hear of your goodness, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, Lord, for her listeners, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
I pray, God, Lord, for all of them, wherever they are in each walk of their life, Lord God. I pray, God, Lord, that you would cover them and keep them, Lord
yes, God.
I pray, God, Lord, that you would put your hedge of protection around them, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray, God, Lord, that in the season, Lord, of singleness, Lord God, that they will not, Lord God, look at it as something that is wrong or something that needs to be looked down upon, or
yes,
that
God.
Being, you know, waiting is lonely, Lord God. I pray, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would find joy in this
yes,
season,
God.
Lord God, that they would know, like, that this is the time, Lord, that their relationship with you should grow and be deepened, Lord God,
yes,
in
Lord.
You, Lord God. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would show them who they are, Lord God, in you, Lord. Yes, that they, Lord, that they not only think of themselves as only a wife or a mom, Lord God, but Lord, that they would see themselves as a businesswoman, an author, Lord God, an entrepreneur, Lord God, a servant, Lord God. Lord, just all of the different aspects of life that you have created, Lord, stir up their gifts that are within them, Lord, that they would use them to facilitate your work, Lord God. I pray, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that there is so much happiness and peace in this season, Lord God, and contentment, Lord God. Lord, that they are content with where you are, where they are in you, Lord God, in this season of their life, Lord God, that they know that more is to come, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. And I pray, God, Lord, that as they are waiting, Lord God, they're waiting with a joyous spirit, Lord God.
Yes, God.
And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that they're not going out to look for, Lord, their spouse, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord.
But they're taking this time, God, to look for you.
Yes, God.
Lord God, to have a deeper relationship, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, Lord, for their future spouses, Lord
yes, God.
I pray, God, Lord, that when they do come, Lord God, that they are fully prepared, that at the same time, they've been searching for you. They've
yes,
been
God.
Looking for you, Lord God, and
yes,
they have
God.
Found you, Lord God, and they have been doing your work, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
So that when they're able to enter into a union, Lord God, they are on one accord,
yes,
Lord God,
God,
with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would be the head of their marriage, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray, God, Lord, that they would never forget, Lord, that you are the foundation.
Yes,
Lord,
God.
Even in the hard times, Lord God, you are their foundation. You are their peace and you are their refuge, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that, Lord, we are all learning good communication skills, Lord God,
yes,
and
God.
We're able to communicate in those hard times, in those hard seasons, Lord God, able to communicate so that those are not boundaries that separate us, Lord God, in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. I pray, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for every listener, Lord God. I pray, God, Lord, that if they don't know you, I pray, Lord, that they come to know you.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, God, Lord, that through this podcast, Lord, the people have a deeper relationship and a revelation knowledge of who you are, Lord God.
Yes,
and
God.
Know that you are soon coming for a church, Lord
yes,
God, without
God.
Spot or wrinkle, Lord God. I pray, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we will begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for your return, Lord God. In
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you got to know God in a different way, more about who he is. And if you did, please tell me about it. Leave a comment, write a review, or head over to RuthinaPorterfield.com and contact me there. You guys, I would love to hear from you. So until then, talk to God yourself. Get to know him. Maybe next time you'll be telling me that you're God's favorite. Although, for real though, I'm God's favorite. No, for real. I am God's favorite, for real. If I put my trust in you.